Jones.
And Mike. Real radio for real people who are real enough to realize they really still have a few things to figure out. Jones is a hockey-playing, city-living, vegan bachelor who practices transcendental meditation when he's not biking to shows and Cub games. Mike's a beer-swilling married father of four from suburbia. His motorcycling, marathoning, and martial arts are pretty much on the shelf while he limos children all over town to their activities for the next decade. Sound familiar? It's, you know, shit dudes say. About family, women, philosophy, politics, history, people, money, pop culture, kids, fighting, business, life. Join the conversation. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike. 24/7 worldwide at jonesandmike.com.
This hour, when is it kosher to tell someone they look like a celebrity or a certain ethnicity? Plus reflections on Rio and the first order gets bustitoed smoking weed.
This is Jones and Mike. Jones and Mike.
Jones, it's possible that we're the only talk show in America or anywhere in the world, even in Europe, that has two hosts that are 100% Irish. I'm not aware that there's any other show anywhere with two Irish dudes. I think that's odd. Like, no other ethnicities have soiled our blood.
Anywhere? Wait, did you say anywhere in the world?
Even in Ireland. Especially in Ireland.
I would have to check that. I would really have to check that. I don't know that that would be the case.
How are you going
to
check that?
I don't know if that would be the case in Ireland, but...
How are you going to check that? Like, in Point Break, when, like, Gary Busey was going around and, like, grabbing hair samples at the beach? Oh, wait, dude, you got a big creeper up by your ear, man.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems like there would be. However...
No.
I hate to bust your bubble, potentially.
Yeah. Oh. I am in a bubble.
Well, this week I found out that perhaps maybe I'm not Irish.
What?
Or at least I don't appear to be Irish.
Oh, I thought you were going to, like, did you find a diary and your mom was like, I can never let my son know about that one time over at the French Riviera.
No, I didn't find anything like that. But this week I was in my building. At work, at my office building, I went downstairs. There's like this little concession stand, and I never, ever would have thought that someone would have said this to me.
Uh-huh.
But I went downstairs, and I went to like, God, I don't even know. What was I going down there to buy? It doesn't even matter.
Is there like, is it manned? Is there a person?
Yes,
there a person there selling you stuff?
There's, it's an Indian couple. It's either the husband or the wife that's there.
Oh, and they make sandwiches and stuff?
No, not even. They just sell like... Snickers bars or like a box of raisins or
why do you need a person to do that? Sounds like that could be like automated.
Well, then they have lotto tickets. I mean, there's a reason it's automated.
Go downstairs and get your lotto.
It's just a little like nook inside the building.
Right.
So I went down there and I'm making my purchase or what have you. And then the guy who's running the stand.
Were you getting a Powerball? What were you getting?
I don't remember what I was getting. No, I was buying like maybe trail mix or something.
Okay.
And as I'm giving the guy the money, he goes, where are you from? And I kind of panicked a little bit because now we have...
Willow Springs, sir?
Well, no, I go, sixth floor? Like, I kind of thought he was verifying that I'm from the office building. And I thought, well, why would it even matter if
I cannot sell you the Snickers and this Powerball ticket if you're not from the sixth floor.
Right, I go, the sixth floor? He goes, no, I mean, where did you come from? I was like, oh, like, do I live in the city or the suburbs? I live like a mile from here.
Get to the point, Indian.
No. Where your parents? What are you? He says.
Yeah.
I go, right. I go, I'm Irish. Both of my parents were actually from Ireland.
Oh, okay.
And he cranes his head and he looks at me. He goes, oh, because I thought you were like Arabic. I thought you were Arabian, he says.
Arabian?
Arabian.
Nice.
I have never... ever gotten that.
I mean, was your hair suit, you know, chest showing?
No, because I wear a t-shirt and then
keep
I just
covered.
Go one button down.
Yeah.
So it was funny, though.
Yeah.
Like, Arabian.
All
the, I never, when people say, who do people tell you look like? Or when they get guess your ethnicity, what do they guess? I mean, I've gotten a number of different answers, but Arabian, Yeah. I've never gotten anything that would be close to that, where if someone said, oh, I always thought you were Mexican, and then one day someone said, oh, I thought you were Puerto Rican, you'd be like, okay, that's in the ballpark. But Ireland to Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, but people don't...
You never would do that.
They don't figure that the dark, hair and...
I know, but I'm
features
so...
...features are going to be associated with Ireland.
I'm so bony white, though. I'm pretty white. My complexion is not olive complexion at all.
Yeah, but do you remember, Chomsey or whatever from Jordan that we knew in college?
Chomsey El Ghazi?
Him. Yeah. Like, he was, like... From like privilege, and he had a relatively light complexion. Yeah, I think he had like brown hair. In fact.
He did, but he was still like he's still like kind of a
Jordanian sultan's son.
He had like kind of a toast brown color. Like I'm white, I'm like almost sheet of paper white. So I thought that was very odd. But in doing that,
you should have asked this guy where he was from. Then now you go.
Yeah,
where are you from, sir?
Yeah, it was just one of those. It's kind of. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm guessing India, and I'm feeling pretty good about that guess.
Yeah.
But it was funny. He broke a rule that I hold to, that I had broken in the past, that I will break no more. Now, I didn't care that the guy thought I was from... Arabian.
No, you
some,
totally
no, some
care.
People really... I talked to other people about this, and some people really got upset, where they were like, I get that all the time. I'm 100% Italian, but people will think I'm Greek, or people will think I'm Mexican, but I'm 100% Italian, and it bothers me. It bothers me. Well, that they feel their identity isn't immediately recognized, or what? At least you're in the ballpark of it. So, but this guy broke a rule.
Oh, there's a rule.
For me, there's a rule. You never, ever tell anyone what they look like, either by celebrity from entertainment or sport or ethnicity. It's not worth it. It goes wrong too many times for it to be worth it.
I think it goes oh so right, I think. Like,
no.
I can't imagine being in a... Like, that's like my go-to, way to loosen someone up.
No, it never works. And here's the funny thing, for me anyway. I can think of... Here are a couple instances. My sister, for years, and this is now years ago, but for years, people would tell her that, oh my God, you know what? You look like Monica Lewinsky.
Oh!
And she would get that all the time. And this was even
no.
when my mother was alive.
You have a little ranch on your dress.
When my mother was alive, and she's like, you know, I can see Eileen is in better shape than Monica, but I can see it. And even Eileen could kind of see, like, I get it.
Oh,
we both
man.
Have the big eyes.
We
the
both
darker
love
hair,
we love cigars.
The, you know, but so she could kind of see it. But it was just something they had such an association. It was so negative. And then, you know, I just think of other times. I told one of my buddy's wives, she looks just like, and funny enough to be talking about this during the Olympics. Mm. She really looks a lot like Misty May Trainor, the volleyball,
the really tall, yeah,
not that's not the one that's competing now.
Oh,
the one that was partnered with her for the first three gold medals they won.
Oh, it's like a brunette.
Yes.
Yeah, cute.
Yes.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
When I mentioned that to my buddy's wife, there was kind of a grimace on the face of like, really? I don't think so. I was like, oh my God.
That chick was a babe, man. Like, kind of older, mature, not like some 23-year-old chippy. I liked her.
No, and then I even once told a girl who was a dead ringer for Kate Hudson, you look just like Kate Hudson. I caught hell for that. That's when I was out.
What?
If you can't tell someone that they look like a beautiful star from Hollywood,
it's
a no-go ever. Arabian, Kate Hudson, Misty May Trainor.
Yeah.
Just button it.
Yeah, when to keep your mouth shut. Next, Jones and Mike.
Another Pacific Rim Omega customer speaks.
My name is Tony G. I was very impressed by taking the product and the purity of the pharmaceutical grade of the omega-3 fish oil. I really felt very, very good by taking the product. As far as my mood, I noticed the collagen in my face and some of the lines that have disappeared, my nails, my hair. I highly recommend this product, Pacific Rim. I really, really enjoy the product, and I look forward to purchasing more products in the future.
Find out what Tony and thousands of other people know. Pacific Rim Omegas are the best thing you can do for your health. And get 59% off your order right now when you take advantage of this special
exclusive offer. Go to radio.mydailyomega.com right now and save 59% off your order of Pacific Rim Omegas, or call 877-324-4227. That's radio.mydailyomega.com. radio.mydailyomega.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at jonesandmike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
Jones, the ethnicity that I usually get when people are like, you know what, you look like you're... Guess what people think that
German.
I am. German?
Yeah.
It's kind of close, actually. I get Jewish.
I've gotten Jewish
it several times.
I've gotten Jewish once or twice, yeah. I get Jewish, and sometimes I get Greek.
Okay, well, right. It's you've got a hairy kind of swarthiness about you.
Yeah,
you
a do. Real, like, kind of hairsuit attractiveness. Like there's a certain masculine flair that they give off.
I say swarthy, and you say smoldering.
No, I think it's hot.
And I always laugh and I go, oh, thank you. I'm not Jewish, but whatever. And I think probably the first couple of times I made kind of a stink face, like, Jewish, what? But it wasn't like, what, you know, because it's Jewish. It just was so far away from Ireland.
Right.
And but I don't have like the ginger thing going on, even though I kind of sometimes call myself a ginger. I don't really look like Ron Howard or whatever.
No.
As a child, I had the red hair, the freckles, things like that. You know, the fact that I'm constantly clutching a beer should be a tip off to someone that I'm Irish or something along those lines. So there, the German, I could see people going with that. Invariably, I go, why Jewish? And then they don't want to say. And I go, it's because of my nose, right? And then they'll sometimes go, well, yeah. And actually, my sister-in-law gets that, too. And she's got a, you know, we got prominent honkers, man.
Well, and it's so, but... To me, like, just that interaction that you've just described,
yeah.
That's why you just keep it in the back pocket. Because you just, you can
run
afoul
for somebody
so many times and you don't even know. If someone saw you and said, oh, you look Jewish. Well, you look like, I had Jewish neighbors across the street, you look like that.
And I loved them,
But it doesn't matter. If you've offended someone or put them out in some way, there's no recovering it. If I can tell someone they look like Kate Hudson,
yeah,
and they absolutely rebuke me and they're upset right when I say it.
That's nuts.
Yeah, I just can't understand that. If someone told me, Brian, you look just like Brad Pitt, I could not even understand that. Not because Brad Pitt is so good looking, but simply because we don't look like anything. We don't look anything like one another. Now, if someone really insisted that to me, I think I would walk away from that still saying, oh, well, yeah. Brad Pitt's known as a good looking guy. I'll take it and run.
Yeah.
But no, if you even do that, you run the risk of running afoul with people. And I've just decided. Once it broke bad when I told someone she looked like Kate Hudson, I was like, forget it. I'm done. I'm never telling anybody what they look like ethnically.
You are an awk guy who can't tip a dealer at Vegas. You know, they get confused.
But
it leads
what's
to
the
strife.
Tip about like, saying someone well, you look well, like Kate Hudson?
Well, right. That's all I'm saying is that something that typically shouldn't be a problem, for whatever reason, when you say it, it becomes a problem. And that just, or when you do it, sometimes it just comes off strangely. That's just something about your vibe, I guess. It never breaks bad for me. Although I do sometimes bite my tongue. I was at a party last week, and there was a woman that we know, and just something about the lighting or whatever, and I almost said it, and then I stopped. She looked like Amy Schumer, and I wanted to ask her, has anybody ever... But I love Amy Schumer, but because her identity now, by her own, you know, actions and deeds and words... It's become intertwined with body shaming.
Right, yes.
And but I would love to see her naked. She's been naked, but I'd like to see all of it, right? So I love her, but I could see how people would be offended, so I bit my tongue in that situation.
Yeah, I just think I've just had too many bad experiences, whether it's an Amy Schumer or Kate Hudson. I just can't bring myself to do it. Like, who have you said, like, when you've been talking to people and you said you look like this person,
yeah,
who have you said? What would have been the names of whether it's an athlete or a celebrity or a person?
And it went well.
And it went well.
Okay, perfect example. It literally happened yesterday. And let me also just stop and say that maybe it's the approach. For example, I usually say, who's your celebrity look like? Who's someone, you know, that people have said you look like? And I'll let them answer first. And then I'll, and then it'll lighten the blow if I say, no, I think it's more like blah, blah, blah. So have you ever tried that approach?
No, okay. I don't recall that.
All right, try that. Yesterday, I didn't do that. I did just the cold you look like, although I did kind of try to soften the landing a little bit. Somebody that we both know from high school put up a picture from high school, and she just does. And so I said, hey, what would you say if I said you look like Uma Thurman? And I kind of went, send. And fortunately, within seconds, she answered back, I knew I always loved you, Noonan. Now, I think that that's a good thing. I don't think she was saying, but now I'm going to have to kill you.
Right, yes.
But it could have broken bad because, like, there are some people that say Uma's, you know, sexy and hot and all this, but there are a lot of people who are like, she looks like a bug. I happen to think that she's, like, athletic and strong and chiseled and you know, a little bit, not the classic beauty. So I kind of see both sides of the ledger there, and I wasn't sure which one she was going to fall down on, so I was kind of like, but it worked out. And so it just works out for me when I do it.
See, I think people get so sensitive about it, though, because you can look like someone, like there are just features that you can have that just resemble somebody else, even though maybe you're not like a carbon copy of that person. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I just, sometimes when I get names like that, I just take it in stride like that. Like at times in the past, I've gotten Ben Stiller. And when I tell other people that, they go
yeah,
with that.
Yeah, dude.
So yeah. I that's just always happened. I remember walking through a movie theater once, and I was, I just had my head down, just going to like to get refreshments or something. Yeah. And there was this woman that was walking through. She was on the phone. And she was like jawing at somebody, and then she just stopped. Now, she was just in my periphery. I wasn't paying like hardcore attention to her.
Yeah.
And she just stopped. She looked up. She looked at me. She goes, hold on. Said, do you know who you look like? She barks at me. And I'm like, no. Who do I look like? She goes, you look like Ben Stiller. I go, I get that a lot. Yeah. I get Ben Stiller. She's like, you look like Ben Stiller. Girl, I'm looking at this boy right now. He looks just like Ben Stiller. You a cute Ben Stiller. This boy's
a
cute
great,
Ben Stiller.
Dude, nice. Yeah, man. A cute. I'm glad she added in that qualifier.
Well, see, but now here's.
Because he looks like a monkey.
I can look at myself in the mirror and get an essence of why people go, you know, when I see you, there's something of your essence, something about your facial features that reminds me of Ben Stiller. And that's all I take it as. Yeah. I don't stop and go, you think I look like Ben Stiller on a scale of 1 to 10. How attractive do you find Ben Stiller? Now, it was kind of funny and it was kind of nice when this woman threw in, you look like a cute Ben Stiller.
Yeah,
that
man.
That was great.
And normally you people all look alike to me.
Well, no, she didn't. Now you're ruining what was a good moment.
Yeah.
But, no, she did not say that.
Okay.
And it was
but
nice.
But it's true. We all look alike sometimes.
Well, I don't know. I think there's a lot of variety. But
I think
regardless.
You need to go around and tell people that now and ask, do an informal poll. I think that your rule is a good rule where you probably, I think you need to just tweak your approach and you'll have better results. I've learned the hard way that you should not. If you get people to say several times that you look like somebody, don't ever repeat it, because now it's turned into a running joke.
Yes.
Where twice, two separate people on two separate occasions said I looked like Bradley Cooper, and then for some stupid reason, I repeated that.
Oh, yeah.
And now I get mocked. I get
well, you know, and that's,
mercilessly mocked by my wife. She's like, whenever Bradley Cooper's on TV, she's like, oh, there you are, Mike. And I'm yeah. like, screw you, Melon.
I know. You know, that's the other thing. I'm trying to think. Sometime, who was the person? I was told that I looked like someone, and they were like a good-looking person. I can't remember who it was, but as soon as they told that to me, I just thought to myself, I'll never say that. I will never repeat that. Yeah. Whatever it is, I'm not, oh, you know, who do people tell you look like? Oh, they tell me I look like Ben Affleck. You're just not going to say it.
Right, right.
It just, it can never go well. Like, women can kind of get away with that, but a man can never say, oh, I look like this movie star. It just, especially if it's a movie star, maybe fine, but a movie star that would be, you know, known like on that top 50 best looking people. If you're a dude, you just got to put that in your pocket. You can't say it.
Yeah. Like, unless it's somebody clearly like, you look like Melissa McCarthy, that would be a no go. You don't
yes.
say that.
Nope.
you don't look like Amy or Matt Roloff from Little People, Big World. That's not going to win you any points. No-go.
And I just think, honestly, the hard rule, though, is just bag the ethnicities. Don't guess on ethnicities.
Yeah, no, I love it, dude. I usually do the Chicago thing. I don't know if it's a Chicago thing. My dad used to do it. He would ask someone their last name and then inquire as to their ethnicity. I don't know why he needed to know that. I don't know why I ask. Like, it makes a difference.
Well, maybe if all of a sudden they had a last name that would lead one to believe they were of a certain ethnicity that would be counter or in opposition to who he would guess,
mm-hmm.
that might be a smart move.
Yeah, and it's just an icebreaker and whatnot, and certainly in Chicago, it'd be like, oh, and then it, once you know the ethnicity, then you know the neighborhood in many cases, and then you can, oh, I know that, blah, blah, blah. You start talking about things like that anymore, like now that it's a couple of generations since, you know, he was running around, like, people are so many different ethnicities now, like, pick one. Like, so my wife, most people think, is Italian, but she's only, like, 1/16th Italian, but that Italian gene... It just overtakes everything.
Well, see, that's what I've...
She looks like she's off the boat from Sicily.
That's what's always been ridiculous. Mentioned, that she's Italian. What is she in terms of majority? What's her...
She's, like, mostly Czech, and then she also has Hungarian and some Italian. Like, she's, like, a quarter Italian.
Okay.
But that Italian...
See, I always thought she was majority Italian.
You cannot keep that Italian down, dude.
Yeah,
as much as
majority.
Western culture should, in many cases, we can't. It just takes over everything. It's like moss. It's like ivy.
Okay. It's not fun. It's not a bad thing.
Kinda, because it's like, what is it about this? Like, you know, probably Arab blood and Latino blood, like the dark features and Greek and stuff. Like yeah. that, they just take over everything. You're just going to have, you know, brown eyes and dark hair and stuff. And then people, I want you to take note of this going forward. And when you, like, fly, for example, are people eyeballing you? Like, are you,
nah.
is there a way that you can somewhat measure hostility towards
yes,
Arabs?
I understand what you're saying. Like, when that guy said that to me, like, I thought you were Arabian.
I almost did not sell this to you.
Yes, there was nothing in that moment where I thought, oh, man, that makes sense why they say this to me or do that.
Yeah.
No, there was nothing that occurred. So
you didn't think it was weird how people would come up and hit you in the face with their shoe?
So far, I would say that this is just a one-off instance. Now, if I start getting Arabian more and more, then I'll really have to start to pay attention to it. I think this was a one-off.
You should totally play it up and be like, oh, yeah, dude, I normally live in Beirut. But things have been kind of hot over there. So I'm just over here visiting friends, but I'll be back to clubbing. I'm loaded. I'm a loaded Lebanese man of means.
If you think I'm awkward, if you think I'm awkward telling an attractive woman she looks like another attractive woman, how do you think I could honestly pull that story off?
You should. You should pass yourself off as a Lebanese playboy.
I know. That has zero chance of success.
Or go into zero. Like go into Bridgeview or go into some like, you know, hotbed places and like go get a chicken shawarma and see if they're like cooler to you there.
No, there's no way. Like, how could I pull that off among the actual collection of people?
Oh, well, that's the thing. You could, if you could pass their sniff test, dude, then we have something to work with here. Then you're a double threat, dude. You can go Irish. You have dual citizenship. You could be Irish. You could be Jewish.
You could
be Arab.
Arabian.
This could break bad for you, actually. You could go to Bridgeview and
things could go
south for you.
I have to at least see if another occurrence presents itself.
That's why I don't go to Bridgeview, dude. I don't go to Bridgeview. I've gotten the Jewish thing too many times. There are certain neighborhoods I just won't go into now. Just in case.
Really? All right.
Your friend who got likened to the former Olympian.
Yes.
I want to talk. Let's talk about the Olympics. Though I predicted these would be the last Olympics.
But I'm not with you on that.
No, now it seems like it's fabulous. But there have been some compelling storylines.
I think they're doing a good job of cleaning it up.
Yeah. Rio next, Jones and Mike. When it comes to finding a holistic doctor near you, where can you turn for help? When you need a cancer doctor who will advocate for a non-surgical, non-chemical course of treatment, where can you find her? When you need a chiropractor or acupuncturist, when you need help with ailments that many doctors and even hospitals just plain turn away, like Lyme disease, who can help you with natural solutions and strategies for diabetes? When you need help to find an integrative, functional, complementary, alternative approach, option, and practitioner, the Health Freedom Network is there. Since 2009, the Health Freedom Network has been a leading resource for natural medicine and health information and research. Now we're also your best resource to give you access to the top docs in a number of specialties, from cancer to stroke, and in modalities from chiropractic to dentistry. The Health Freedom Network's directory at healthfreedomnetwork.com. Better information for better choices. Find your new health practitioner at www.healthfreedomnetwork.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at jonesandmike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
Jones's favorite time of the decade, one of two favorite times of the decade, the Summer Olympics. So this is Anthem Part 2 by Blink-182. See what I did there, Jones?
That's pretty good.
Because the United States anthem is being derided, I guess, because it's being played so often. People, I guess, hate that song.
Of course. Of course. I mean, that's a natural. Like, ask any hockey fan that's not in Chicago how much they love Chelsea Dagger. They will tell you how much they not love Chelsea Dagger.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like playing like every time you turn around, right? So the medal count is like the United States has like 100. And right now it's, you know, Japan and China are after them. But they're going into track and field week now. So like those two, you know, they're going to fall off. There's going to be a precipitous fall off.
You would think,
for our friends from Asia.
No, I think we're in good shape to win the medal count.
For sure.
But yes, I love this time of year, or I should say every 2 years, whether it's the summer or winter games.
Oh, it doesn't matter. You love them both.
I love them both. I've been watching all of it. Like every night I come home and from 7 o'clock to 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
I have it on the whole time.
Are you watching it during the day?
Yeah. I keep tabs on it during the day as well.
And is NBC showing it during the day?
Well, see, I go through the NBC Olympic .com. I just go through the website.
Okay.
So then they have like a gold zone. So then they have whatever competition is close to a medal event.
Okay.
Then they're showing that. So
I gotta be honest, the coverage has sucked. Like they used to have a bug like on the bottom of the screen. I want to say in the London Olympics when they'd be like Michael Phelps races in 22
minutes.
Well,
I think they started doing that in Beijing, and I think that carried over to London. And I do miss that.
Yeah, I never know when anything's happening.
So unless there was some meter that showed no, then you get people that are tuning out. I don't know. Unless there's a reason that they got rid of that, I don't know why they got rid of it because I liked it. The other thing that they don't do is they do a terrible job of identifying in the pool who's in whose lane. Like once the race starts, they don't have it lined up. As soon as they go into the water, you have to remember, was Phelps in 4 or was Phelps in 5?
Yeah.
When previously they would at least have a marker that would kind of give you the main racer of who's in what lane and you could keep up with that. Did you hear the CBC announcer on the Phelps Lochte race?
No.
Oh my God. It is so funny. It is so funny. So there's this guy, Elliot Friedman, and he's a great hockey analyst. And I've heard him talk about other sports as well. He's really sharp, but he got the lanes screwed up.
Oh no.
So he's announcing the race and he's like, oh, this is incredible. It is incredible. Lochte is getting the gold. Phelps will not make it to the podium.
This is
unbelievable. And you know, as soon as they touch the wall, then they show who immediately finished first, second, and third.
Yeah.
He's like, Phelps will not make it to the medal stand. Phelps wins. I apologize, folks. I got the lanes mixed up.
Oh, man. He's the Steve Harvey of Canadian announcers,
yes.
Dude.
Oh, it was so bad.
That's great.
So that's what I'm talking about. Like, you should have those lanes. Just have the main guys, even the main three guys. There's got to be a way where a computer is picking up who is the top three guys, and just have those lanes with the guy's last name and the flag and of the country they represent, and that's it. So yeah. Those are two complaints I would have. Other than that, I've loved watching the whole thing. I think we're not really seeing how much of a disaster Rio is behind the scenes. I think you're getting glimpses of it when you're watching it on TV. You know, you look into the crowd like no one is going to these events.
They don't even have seat fillers.
No, they don't even have seat fillers. And they're not even filling out the beach volleyball is what's most shocking to me. Because the venue is down on Copacabana Beach. You think people are just down there all the time anyway. And if you're looking at stands that are 75% empty, would you not think that the people who are organizing the event go, okay, let everyone in for a dollar or let them in for free, just so you have people in the venue? But you're seeing these events and like with major beach volleyball players where there's like 25% capacity. Like what is anyone else doing?
Yeah, because they insist on charging big, you know, ticket prices, I think, I'm assuming.
But
these third world nations should not have the Olympics. This should be the end of that.
Absolutely.
Sorry.
They cannot go back to that again, ever. Because here's the thing. People get uncomfortable. They don't feel like they can travel down there.
Yeah.
Then you have these empty venues. And when you have countries that can't pull it off, it just looks atrocious.
And that's, you know, there was a lot of criticism that there were bribes, etc.
That's why it's there.
Clearly,
there's no doubt.
They have one of the highest murder rates in the world down there. Like, and I know it's ironic somebody from Chicago saying that, but like, Chicago is like, you know, it's like a walk in the park compared to like a lot like South Africa and like Brazil.
Right.
Ciudad Juarez has like 10,000 murders a year, just like one city in Mexico or something nuts. So like there are some really, really dangerous places in the world, and Rio is one of them, notoriously dangerous. And 70% of the city didn't have running water when the Olympics were awarded to that city.
Which makes sense when you see what has been happening to the pools at the event. Like, that's the other thing that I've just loved.
Yeah.
Is have you seen the diving events and some of the swimming events, like the polo, water polo, and then the diving events? Dude, they're diving in moss green water.
It's gross, dude.
Like, when they go under the water, you cannot see them. They just disappear.
Yeah.
And like the divers go in and there's a big splash and then you don't really see them until they start to really almost get to the top. It's like when you're looking at a pond and then all of a sudden you're looking down at the water and then you see a frog emerge.
They don't
out of nowhere.
Yeah, water's like a new concept to much of Rio, so they don't know what to do with it.
Well, and the funny thing is, so the reason that it's turning green, it is an algae that is forming in the pool. And competition officials are saying, it's fine, it is an algae, but it's not harmful, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because the water polo competitors have been saying, when you come out of that water, your skin is just, it's burning.
Well, right, because now they're dumping all the chlorine in the world in there to try to make it blue again. Yeah,
and they're like burning their flesh off. And now people are going into these events where the water has turned green, and the venues, they say, smell like, because of the sulfur, it smells like a fart.
Yeah, yeah.
So they have to sit there
nasty.
And just this like fart stank, green water, algae infested venue.
Yeah, like made like Ryan Lochte's platinum blonde hair turn green or blue.
Yeah, which I've had that happen to me when I dyed my hair years ago, thinking it'd be fun, and then all of a sudden I went to some man-made lake that was treated, and all of the color came out, and then I just had like this white cotton ball on the top of my head.
Oh, we got to dig up some pictures.
Oh,
about
I have
that.
Them.
That's
hilarious. Yeah, I should dig them out. But
they're really lucky that like so many people are on drugs in the Olympics that no one will be able to know if their third ball is due to the green water or due to all the drugs they took.
Well, yes, with that, I mean, I think that's starting to rear its ugly head as well. Like, I was watching, my sister and I were watching the swimming, and Katie Ledecky took to the pool. And, like, I like the whole story of the swimming at the Olympics. It's been a great story. Like, that's been the one thing that's kind of been able, when you go to the water events, the success of the U.S. swimming team has kind of taken away from the green water. Or like the kayaking event, there was a kayak that was capsized because it hit a sofa.
Yeah, in training and before the Olympics, but still
there
was like a sofa and a dead body out in the water. They were going to be having Olympic events.
So now when you're at least looking at this, at the water-based events, the U.S., the success of the U.S. swim team has been a total feel-good.
I've
been loving Michael Phelps. And I would love to say I'm loving Katie Ledecky. But as I'm watching her perform, I turned to my sister and I said, look, I'm just going to take the unpopular opinion here and say, if her name was Svetlana Varlamov or Sun Wen-chi, we'd be like, she's got to be on something.
Are those real people?
No, I just made that up.
That's pretty good.
But have you seen her perform? She is finishing. She's lapping people in the pool.
No, yeah, she like got out, took a shower, and was dressed by the time the silver medalist touched.
And as I was sitting there, when she first, she did her, one of her first races where she finished, it was a shorter race, but she finished 5 seconds ahead of the competitors. And it brought me back to years ago. Remember when Usain Bolt was in the 100-meter final and he smashed the world record?
Right.
But with like 10 meters to go, he put his arms out and he kind of did a high step across the line.
Yeah.
And he smashed the world record while doing that. He didn't even power through the finish line. I thought, oh my God, dude, at least, you know, try to cover up a little bit.
No.
Just look like you're running.
He did the icky shuffle across the line. Yeah.
And so I have that same feeling as I'm watching Ledecky, and I'm like, look, I'll take the unpopular opinion. But it's curious that when she touches the wall, when she won her first individual gold medal, she touches the wall. And she spins around. She takes her hat off. She starts to shuffle out of the lane.
It's not a hat.
Cap.
Yeah.
Swimming cap.
Yeah.
She takes the swimming cap off, and she starts to shuffle out of her lane. And I turn to my sister. I go, we don't even have a silver medalist yet. Like, the silver medal has not been decided.
Yeah.
And she's already trying to exit the pool. She's finishing that far ahead. When she was doing the 800 medley last night, good God. She was a lap ahead of some of these people. At one point, I was saying, she's not, they're doing a widescreen shot, and she's the only one in the picture.
Yeah, yeah, something's not right.
Yes. I mean,
you would think that, like, they're all within a second of each other.
Yes.
At that high level.
And especially when we're talking about the final. So sometimes when they get to those semifinal heats, you have one world-class swimmer in there with someone from Botswana, someone from the refugee team.
Yeah.
And they just happen to smoke
everybody.
There's
a team refugee? Awesome. Yeah. Syria did send a team.
No. There is. It's a refugee team. There are 10 people
from serious?
Countries that are refugees. You haven't seen them?
No.
Yeah.
They're like an all-star team for people that live in tent cities?
Well, they're not. Yeah, they're from tent cities, but they're not like an all-star team per se. So there was a guy.
Oh, my God.
There was a guy who was running the 400 meters that had escaped, like he was in Somalia or something. So he was. Now, these refugee people aren't necessarily world-class competitors, so they're kind of getting smoked. But they're, which I'm fine with.
But they're
just happy
to be out of their tin shacks for a week.
Right, and they at least, they do actually look the part, and they do look competent. I was never a fan of, like, when Great Britain sent Eddie the Eagle Edwards to the Winter Olympics, and he was a ski jumper, but he was barely a ski jumper. He was like crashing constantly.
Yeah.
I don't like when someone does that and they do it as like a lark. At least these refugee team people are at least competent in their sport. Maybe they're not at world class level.
Did you see the swimmer from some African country that like is a champion in Africa, but whoop-de-doo-dah, he has like a dad bod? Did you see him?
Yeah, I heard them shaming his dad bod. Yeah.
Right, and now, you know, the American press, they love the division. But it's like, no, yeah, you shouldn't be fat. And in the Olympics, I actually do want you shamed.
Well,
this should be the best of the best. Just because you were the champion of, you know, Equatorial Guinea doesn't mean that you should be in the Olympics.
Nah, I don't really necessarily feel that way. I just feel you should be competent
in
your sport.
There's no way he's one of the top 20 swimmers in the world.
And I don't think to get to the Olympics and to at least get to the qualifying where you're just in the preliminary heats for what the Olympics, I don't feel that you have to be that. I don't feel like you have to totally blow out this idea that it was just amateurs and everyone's involved.
No, it's just the elite.
The cream rises to the top.
It shouldn't be.
Anyway.
It reminds me of like when like a team with like a losing record gets into the playoffs, like a 7-9 record gets into the playoffs just because they won their division. It's like, no, your 4-team division was just horrific, and the Oklahoma Sooners could beat you. So
yeah,
just because this guy was like, you know, a 7-9 swimmer doesn't mean that he should represent. He's flubby, and he was like last by like you know, like Katie Ledecky distance.
Well, and look, there are some people, yeah, there's always going to be some outlier where it's like, oh God, you can question, were they competent in their sport? If they're not, yeah, I don't think they should be there. But I don't feel like it has to be the 20 best competitors of everything, because especially when you get to the swimming and to the running, there are so many heats that decide who gets to the final. If someone just can get to the Olympics and it's kind of part of that Olympic spirit, and they're at least proficient in their sport, I don't have a problem.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. They want it to be, you know, like the United Nations, where everyone's represented. And or like in Major League Baseball, where every team, even like some team that is one of the worst baseball teams ever, has to have a representative at the All-Star game. And that means that somebody, you know, from the Yankees, for example, you know, years ago would have been left off, even though they're way better, right? So, like, that, I don't like that.
Yeah,
it's one thing when it's Major League Baseball's All-Star game. But this, the Olympics are supposed to be, I thought, the creme de la creme of athletic achievers, not just a multicultural celebration.
I see, no, I think it's traditionally it was opposite of that. It wasn't the creme de la creme. Originally, it was the amateurs. And now since, you know, in the last 20, 25 years.
Okay, but the creme de la creme of amateurs, not just like, oh, we have to have somebody from Angola here so you get to swim, even though you suck at swimming comparatively.
Well, I mean, if you're elite for your region, I still think it's, I mean, if you're an African champion or whatever it is, I have no problem with them still going there and going through qualifying.
No, I have a problem. I want him evicted from the Olympic Village. No sex for you. Give back all your condoms. Well, and so in the gymnastics competition, just to put a bow on it, Katie Ledecky, druggie, yes?
Gymnastics competition.
Well, I'll get into that in a second, but just to put a bow on it, Katie Ledecky, drug addict, yes?
I think that she could be a dirty athlete, yes.
Right, and meanwhile, they're all like kind of, it seems like the swimming team is taking umbrage to the Russians, saying in post-race interviews, like, yeah, we're clean. This is what it looks like when you can swim clean.
Yeah, they are really taking a strong stance on that. And, you know, that's the other thing that has me raise a question mark about Katie Ledecky. Unquestionably, once this event is over, you're going to start seeing dirty drug tests come in. Now, if you start to see other swimmers that went up against Katie Ledecky that came back as European champions who tested positive for drugs, how is she beating them by 11 seconds?
Yeah.
Seems crazy.
And it's one thing to be like, well, if she tests positive, we'll strip them of the goal, her of the gold, and give it to this. And it's like, well, yeah, but they didn't get to bask in the glory on the world stage and all of that. They got screwed.
Right.
They got screwed.
I know.
To a degree.
And here's the other thing that I would love to see them, though, add to the Olympics. I said this out loud, and then my sister pointed out to me that Bill Murray said the exact same thing. She saw it the next day as a quote. So it's really weird whenever you have that happen, when all of a sudden there's like a marriage of ideas, and it's like, how did that person say the exact same thing? When I was watching the swimming, I thought to myself, man, wouldn't it be awesome if they just had, they found there was some way that statistically they identified the average weekend warrior athlete. And
yes,
that they got their own lane.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought that. And I said that to my sister. And then the next day, she's like, Bill Murray said that same thing.
Yeah, for reference, he said.
But and that's why I said for reference. I really did. I thought that would be great for a reference. You just see the average person or even the average weekend warrior athlete. What do they look like in the pool versus a Michael Phelps or Katie Ledecky?
See, this is where NBC is missing the boat, because I don't see the bug of when somebody noteworthy or some event noteworthy is coming up. So therefore, I've missed some races because I'm flipping around. I don't want to see, you know, Hungarian swim or whatever. So I'll flip away and then I come back and I'm like, oh, I missed Phelps and LaClose. How did I miss this? Oh, you didn't tell me it was coming up, NBC. So they haven't had that bug. They also haven't done, like, I expected in this day and age that they would be really playing up the multi-screen experience and telling you, go online right now and see this, or go on Facebook and we're live streaming this, or, like, you know, check out our variety of channels. Like, I wouldn't even know that CNBC or any other NBC, you know, affiliated channels are playing other events. I wouldn't know. I don't know.
And there has to be a strategy where they're like, once we have them on NBC, we're not going to push them off NBC. There has to be a reason why they're not.
Or at least cross-promote the other channels.
I know, but they're so not doing that. It clearly, it has to be an intentional decision to not cross-promote, to not let you know what's coming up. because they had done that in the past. Now that they've so clearly stepped away from it, there has to be some research.
Yeah, there's got
to
be a
telling them why not to do that.
It's got to be dough. It's got to be ad dollars, etc. But so as opposed to selling the network of all, you know, aggregated viewers, it's better just to have the mothership score really high. But this would be a good reason to use something like that, like for reference, you know, like kind of like if you want to hear Spanish, hit the SAT button. You could have the Watch the Everyman online, like on the second screen experience.
Yes, that would be great. That would be great.
I hope you guys are listening over there.
You could even do something like that. You could have your own venue here locally in the United States, and you could cut to just them performing isolated in these, whether it's the 100 meters, like 100 yard dash, or whether it's swimming or javelin.
Yeah.
And then you could just cut to them online of this is what the average person looks like doing that same event.
That's right.
Even
That's
if you
right.
didn't have them live in Rio, which I would rather have that. They have their own designated lane, but...
Or like that, you know, what they've been doing with bowl games, doing the megacast, where they'll have another channel showing the game only with like the director's cut of a, you know, a panel of people like just BSing about it. And like experts coming through and like, you know, sitting down at the desk and talking about the national championship game or whatever on another channel. I wish they were doing an Olympic megacast.
Yeah, that's another idea.
So, but it's hard to improve on the week we've seen. Like, you know, these storylines. So obviously you're going to fall down on the Katie Ledecky's on drugs side of things. Hope you don't get sued. Good luck with that, Jones. Simone Manuel. Of course, there's got to be like a racial storyline, and now we have it. Simone Manuel becomes the first American black woman to win a swimming gold. And now it's like, see, all these stereotypes that black people can't swim, throw them out the window. I never want to hear them again. Meanwhile, I'm like, do people really still say that? Like, there was a time that people said that.
They may.
It's weird, man.
They may. People
Where do these racists live?
I don't know.
I'm glad they don't live with me.
Well, no, I think they're. I do think they're out there. I did think that was a good story, especially when she was so emotional having won it. I like when they have these huge reactions to winning. You don't know who they are.
Yeah,
and all
yeah.
of a sudden, they just erupt in tears.
And clearly, like Jim Crow, like there were separate pools and stuff, and like access to pools was, you know. So yeah, there was definitely a time 60 years ago, or maybe I don't know. Maybe I don't know that like there aren't any pools in like urban areas. So her story really is that remarkable.
Yeah, and truth be told, I don't know her story. So I don't know if she's not incredibly wealthy like that. What Simone Biles, the gymnast, like her parents, they have to have money. Like if you've seen any of the profiles, the house that they live in, they built her own gym. So I don't know. This Simone swimmer could be the same thing. She could have been in like all the elite race clubs.
Right.
But at the same time, if you finish, you win gold medal. And then there's also a title that can be attached, like first ever to do that, whatever it is.
Yeah,
it does
yeah.
have to hit you a certain way.
Well, sure, sure. And so I'm glad you brought up Simone Biles because her and Allie Reisman?
Yeah.
Yeah, love her. I'm really, really verklempt by her.
She gives you the vapors.
Her butt to shoulders ratio, though, is so strangely off. There should be a better match there to me.
Why? What do you mean?
Her shoulders understand. Are like, you know, like the Rock's shoulders.
Yeah.
And then like her butt is like a little child's.
No.
It's kind of disconcerting, but I just try to look in the middle.
No, I think they
like
all
when somebody has like an errant eye, like astigmatism, and I just look in the middle of their head. That's
I think
I
they all
her.
Have nice tight butts.
Well, that's what I mean. But
like,
it's like so
yeah,
childlike,
the
and then she looks
no,
like a WWE wrestler.
You have this weird thing
yeah.
about equating an attractive posterior
yeah.
to a child's posterior. You always
but it
do
does.
It.
It does. It looks so small. It's
no,
just strange
it's
to me.
Actually, no. It's actually like they're all like round, like built butts.
All right. You know what? I'll force myself to reevaluate after the show.
It's so weird. You have such... Even when you texted me earlier this week and you were talking about Allie Reisman's butt...
Yeah, that's house talk. That's house talk, Jones.
I did even mention. I'm like, dude, you are the strangest ass man ever. Because you'll pick out someone with a really nice posterior chain.
Yeah.
But then you'll finish it off like, oh, like a 10-year-old boy. And you're like, what? No. Like, you'll pick someone where you're like, you're right, she has a really cute butt, good call. And then you'll throw in a sentence where it's like, no.
I'd
step away from that. I disagree with that.
Don't put that in writing.
Yeah.
You're not screenshotting these things, are you?
No, but you have, you have to work on it. You have a really odd way of expressing your appreciation of the female.
Yeah, well, and I'm a big fan of gymnasts and gymnastics, too. And this week, you know, they leave Gabby Douglas out of the all-round because they have a rule, just like we were just talking about, they have a rule that only two gymnasts from each country can be in it. So we retreated to this Russian. Did you see the Russian girl that completely fell to pieces?
Yeah.
She could have been your every woman, like, reference point.
Yeah.
She was that bad. Yeah, then there was, like, you know, there was a gymnast who, like, fell on her head. I thought we'd seen our first paralysis at the Olympics.
Yeah, the English girl, yeah.
And so, good thing we're treated to Great Britain's gymnast who almost broke her neck instead of the top three gymnasts in the world competing for number one, because we have to have equality.
Well, and here's the thing. I don't understand why they just don't let all of the people who are on the team. It's just an all-day. It could be just an all-day event. And maybe after you do after the first round, you do one round of each of the disciplines, and then they cut down to the top scorers. Because that does gymnastics, dude, it seems so cutthroat. You get to the Olympics and you're still getting cut. That's crazy.
Yeah. Plus, you're the defending all-around champion, gold winner. You should be able to defend your title. And that would have been high drama to see her defend against this up-and-comer who, they're saying Simone Biles is the greatest of all time, potentially.
Yeah.
So it sounds like Gabby would have been put in her place. But I want to see the defending champ get beat.
Right.
Not, like, knocked out by a technicality.
Yeah, I think there's a way to get around that one for sure.
And you know, I guess Ali Reisman got, like, screwed by that a couple of Olympics ago or something like that.
The last one, yeah.
And so it's happened before. There's precedent for it. I guess it started because in the 70s, like, Japan was running the table and had all three podiums filled with their gymnasts. And apparently, you know, the whiteys were like, well, we can't have that. So let's break it up. You can only have two from now on. So the white people screwed it up.
Well,
and it's the black people paying for the white people's bad decisions.
I don't know if you know that for sure. You could very well be right.
I may be right. White nation, white America is agog over Malia Obama having a toque.
Is it white? I wouldn't put it down to white. I think America is losing it.
So Malia, she got herself into trouble. Some trouble. No, she got herself into a controversy. It's not really trouble, though.
No,
I guess that's the story, right?
More about the story.
More about having a toque next, Jones and Mike. 49ers All-Pro linebacker Patrick Willis stunned the football world when he retired at the age of 30. Still in the prime of his career and with many millions of dollars left on the table. The reason? His feet. He could no longer reach his highest potential without excruciating pain. Trouble with your feet can not only hobble you and keep you from experiencing and living life to the fullest, from reaching your highest potential, it can lead to severe problems throughout the rest of your body. Keep your feet happy and healthy. If you have pain or any issues, see Chicagoland's top foot and ankle specialist, Dr. Brian Shermonti, at the Foot and Ankle Center. Two Chicagoland offices in Tinley Park and in Bridgeport. Make your appointment today. Your feet will thank you. 708-429-1377. That's 708-429-1377. And see him online at www.tinleyparkfootdoc.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at jonesandmike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
I was out with some friends last night, Jones, and after we left this restaurant that we were in, they all kind of walked down the street, and then the girl in charge of leading the group, the woman, she diverted over into an alley and into a park. And I'm like, what are we doing? And they all got high. And I'm like,
still?
What are we doing? Like, four of these adults, I was like the fifth wheel.
So did you get high?
No, it's two couples, and I was like, no, I'm good. I don't kind of like that stuff anymore. It makes me kind of quiet. As you know, I don't like being quiet.
It's so weird. So many years later that that would just still be part of the routine. Like, okay, we had a few beers, we had something to eat. Now let's go down an alleyway and smoke up.
Well, yeah, into a park.
Into a park, anywhere, yeah. Anywhere. It would just seem to still partake in that. As a collective group, it would just seem like it would have to be so much more, the event would have to be so much more organic than it seemed like they knew this was part, we're going out to eat tonight, we're meeting an old friend, and we're going to smoke pot.
Oh, no, it was like planned. It was definitely planned.
That's so bizarre.
But I think like in that culture, dude, like that's just when people who smoke get together, it's just understood, silently understood that after we eat, we're going to smoke up.
And you're saying in marijuana culture.
That's right. And in that world. And there were people walking by and like they didn't give a damn at all. And in fact, one of the women was like, it's legal in Illinois. Rauner signed the bill. It's legal now. And I'm like, what? I think I would have heard about that, actually.
Well, that's everyone.
I don't think.
No, I don't think that's the case either. And one of my buddies was walking down the street and someone was smoking up and he kind of just looked at him like surprised to just see it that open. And they shot back at him like, it's illegal now.
Or it's legal.
Or, I'm sorry, yeah. They go, yeah, it's legal.
See,
now.
You're so stoned, you don't even know the law.
And he was like, I don't think that's the case. I don't think so.
I think it's one of those fake news sites like abc.com.co that goes around and like reports fake news and people on Facebook like totally believe it.
Yeah, it works for them, so they run with it.
Yeah, so that was an outrage. I was kind of like, this is weird. I feel like I'm like a child again. I feel like I'm like 18 or 19 again. And it's funny that it happened this week because Barry's daughter got bustitoed.
I know. Did you see the video?
It's on video of her at Lala?
Of her at Lala. Well, originally when she was the big controversy, when she was at Lala, she kind of lifted up her skirt and like twerked for a couple seconds.
Okay.
Did you see that?
It does vaguely ring a bell. Was her butt like that of a 10-year-old boy's?
This is what... We just got done in the last segment talking about how awkward you are about this.
I knew I'd seen it.
We have to. You have to address this. That's the problem. You have to address this. No, she. I mean, it was one of those things. Was it smart to do as an adult looking at her? No, it wasn't. But it was just kind of just whatever. She's young. She just did this funny thing to get a rise out of people, and she dropped the skirt back down and just kind of laughed and let it go.
Yeah, she kind of has like that mean mug of Michelle too. Where it kind of like, ooh, you look a little dangerous.
See, I don't think she looks remotely dangerous. I think she looks like kind of just awkward and geeky.
Pure as a driven white snow. I don't think so. She seems attitudinal. Both those kids, it seems like I see a lot of pictures of them. They don't want to be. And I think being a first child has got to be really tough. I feel badly for them.
It has to be the worst. Even now, well, especially. So after the twerking went down, then this week video emerges that she was perhaps smoking a marijuana cigarette.
Oh, yes.
At Lollapalooza. And I had two reactions when I saw that. There is this massive apology, like a preemptive apology of leave her alone, get out of her face, she's just being a teenager. And I just quickly think, that wasn't people's reaction. That certainly wasn't the media's reaction when the Bush daughters in 2001 got busted multiple times on alcohol-related charges.
Yeah, yeah.
That was like leading like the Tonight Show, any late-night comic, anything. That was getting pounded on constantly was the crazy Bush daughters. Until September 11th hit, they were the biggest part of that presidency. What's going to happen with these crazy girls? His daughters, they're out of control.
So for the first 9 months, you're saying, of the administration?
Yeah, that's all I remember. If you ask me, what do you remember about the Bush W's first year in office? Until you get to September 11th, it was, what's up with his crazy daughter?
Hanging chads, and then Barbara and Jenna.
Yeah, and then that was it. There was nothing else beyond that. Now, the other thing, though, that struck me when I saw her smoking up was, and it brought me again back to the Bush twins, where in the hell is the Secret Service? Like,
they were getting a corn dog, just like everyone else during.
You've got to be. You've got to think that they were surrounding that girl. That had to be the worst assignment, what are we doing this week? Well, Malia wants to go to Lollapalooza, so the four of you have to go protect her at Lollapalooza.
Oh, that's got to be a great assignment if you're in Secret Service.
No, I would think quite the opposite.
But everyone's been frisked going into the place, like, you know, outside of a sniper.
Frisked? Wait a minute.
No one's
going to
be able, they might vomit on you.
Wait a minute. Frisked by who? You
didn't get frisked
famous.
Going in there?
Yes, I did. But you are famous for raking on any of these security people where you're like, I don't know if they're a gangbanger or a security officer.
No, I believe they're a gangbanger during the week, and then they put on that red parka.
Right.
And all of a sudden they work for Monterey Security.
Yes, exactly. And who do you think was patting you down when you went into Lollapalooza?
Well, right, but it's still
those
better than
people.
A normal like parade or something where no one's been frisked.
Oh, you,
so the threats
so
on Malia's life were very low, I got to imagine, at Lolla.
So when you get 10 feet past the security gates, the
somebody
smell
could, like,
of
throw
marijuana
in. Somebody
like,
could throw in a
hits
gun to you
a mile away. Like, that is not the highest state of security, let me assure you. And now you're going to
it's
a
venue.
It's
not the highest state of hygiene either, am I
no,
right?
No, it's not. It's unclean. It's smelly.
Yeah.
The security getting in there, I wouldn't say it's lax, but now if you're protecting the President of the United States' daughter,
yeah,
and she wants to walk to this stage, to that stage, these people have marijuana, these people have coke, these people have Molly. Like, that's got to be, oh my God. And then I have to sit there with these sunglasses on, this earwig in my ear,
yeah,
and I have to be Johnny straight-laced and watching this
talking
girl
into my wrist.
Yes. So what on earth... How does it happen that someone can get a joint in this girl's hand? It would seem impossible.
Yeah,
like, I would think
that it happens all the time, but this time it just happened to be filmed publicly.
But here's the thing, though. You're talking about raising someone inside the White House. Now it's game over with people with camera phones, everything. Like, you have got to be locked down.
Maybe they're
stuff.
Like, okay, so you were on a reality show. Tell me how it is. A reality show, like, production crew, they're there to, like, take in the action, I'm imagining. But they're not there, especially, like, in, like, Survivor or Greatest, you know, Amazing Race or something. Like, I would imagine that the production crew is told to not get involved. If there's, you know, if Bear Grylls is starving to death, don't give them a candy bar. Like, let them be real as much as possible. Am I totally wrong?
Yes.
Okay, because I was imagining that, like, just like the production staff on a reality show is supposed to be transparent, maybe Secret Service is like, we're just here to keep you alive. If you make bad decisions, we're not going to parent you.
Okay, well, if someone is what could have been in that joint? Like, that would just seem like a baseline. Someone handed her something.
Good point, dude.
Someone,
I never thought about that.
Someone has to
Wait, let me... Now, I'm the official toke taster. Let me have a little bit of that before you have it, Malia.
Well, that would actually... If we find out
Here you go.
If we find out that that was the case, that would make sense. That would make sense. But you have to know that someone in the Secret Service, they have to have a line of sight on that girl for the entire run of the show, for the entire run of the concert, for the festival, for however long she's there. And then you see someone handing her a joint. That could be, like, you don't know what's in that cannoli. It could be poisoned.
It could be. So I'm imagining there's an official joint roller or cigarette roller for the first family. Like, Barry's always got a smoke in his mouth. Secret Service is probably desensitized because of all the ciggies that dude's had. Well, 8 years of smoking? Oh, my God.
Well, but at the same... At Lollapalooza, someone's handing what looks like a joint. I mean, they bottle... When the Obamas come to Chicago, they bottleneck this city like crazy. Shut down streets. Everything
That's
is...
right.
They go on under manhole covers and make sure that nothing's underneath there. So how the hell does someone get that girl a joint at Lollapalooza? And even to go... Looking at it from a Secret Service perspective, how did the Bush twins get busted for not even alcohol consumption? I could see, okay, someone, they're at a place, they walk somewhere, they grab a beer, it's really quick, what have you. But they also got busted with fake IDs.
It's like they were hanging out outside of a liquor store.
Yeah! Like, where is the Secret Service? Do we have a Secret Service? I remember a couple years ago, I drove down to Obama's neighborhood where he keeps his residence in Chicago. And I thought, well, a sitting president is from Chicago.
Yeah.
He has his personal residence in our city. I want to go see it. And I want to go see it.
And collect all the cigarette butts just in case one touched his lips.
Right. And I want to go see it while he's in office. I drove down there and it was not a very welcoming environment.
Yeah.
They had barricades. If you step past this point, you are on surveillance. We have the right to approach you. Very intimidating. I saw it. I was like, I could see his house down the street. That was good enough for me. I did not want to walk in there. So I got my car. I drove around the block. And as I drove around the block to go away, there was like this black truck, some white guy, mean looking white guy with the sunglasses and the black suit on staring out of it. I was like, ooh, Secret Service.
Oh.
But now I got to start thinking, based on Malia Obama and Jenna and Barbara Bush and the trouble that they've gotten into, is the Secret Service a myth?
Okay, well, I have an opposing viewpoint. What if these controversies are engineered as a distraction or as a way to show that they're just like us? They have everyday, regular American family issues. Is there some way that these stories are planted? Because you're right. How does Secret Service let Jenna and the Silent One, Barbara? She always kind of looked a little good to me.
See, I always thought
she was
Jenna
so quiet.
Better than Barbara. I never thought either of them were
But as soon as
looking.
Jenna talked, like the other one was smart enough to know that I'm annoying, I'm probably an empty head, so I'm not going to speak. That doesn't stop Jenna Hager-Bush. She's constantly speaking, and the sound of her voice makes me want to twerk with a joint in my mouth. So I'm wondering if these stories aren't planted for some reason as a kind of like when a child star goes to become an adult, they have to go through a rough patch and then come out vindicated on the other side.
Like, yeah, do like the nude photo shoot or whatever.
Right. Like Bieber had a rough landing and he's still kind of a douche, but it seems like he's straightened out a little bit. And you can't really go. Donny Osmond never went through that rough patch, which is why for 30 years he kind of was a schmo. It's, you know, like, I think, wonder if the first family, like, all right, now before, or is it time that we do Operation, you know, Child Star? Like, they whiteboard it. We're like, before I leave office, I need my daughters to come out in a scandal, but then come out of it, you know, on the other side as a better person. Chelsea, I guess, never had that, did
no,
she?
No, she did not. Reagan had some problems with his daughters. Obviously, we've talked about the Bush family, Obama.
Jimmy Carter, you know, he had Billy. Yeah, maybe yeah. Billy was his...
Wait, Billy was his brother.
That's
oh,
right,
you're
Billy.
Saying, okay, yeah. Right.
Billy, what color was the pill you took, Billy? a yellow pill, Billy.
I don't know that it would be... I understand when you're always talking about, like, false flags and distractions, and I just can't imagine...
Say it so derisively.
Yeah, I just can't imagine that this was that.
So
Though
then what
I
is
can't
it?
Imagine how someone got near the first daughter with a joint.
Exactly. So that is a great question you're bringing up that nobody's ever going to bring up in the media. Where did the joint come from then? Because if the joint wasn't vetted, then what the hell is going on? She could have been poisoned.
Yeah. I mean, it could have been laced with anything.
That's right.
And I've had one of my cousins, they lost their child to drugs that were spiked with something else. So,
oh,
like,
no.
It can
really?
Happen.
Like what? Like what kind of drug, though?
It was years ago when they had that heroin that was like bad, that was laced with that other, there was some other chemical that was in it that was going across the South Side.
Oh, okay. I have
but
heard about that. Dude,
that
I had a joint
happen.
Sprayed, I think, with like Raid or something.
I remember
something.
You said that once.
It just was so powerful. It messed me up. I was like, they had to spray Raid on this.
Yeah.
Dip it in formaldehyde or something. Something
like,
was done to this.
That could have happened. And honestly, that could have happened. It could have been one of Malia's friends that's like the pot-smoking friend, and she got a joint from another friend but didn't realize that the joint was laced, and I'm going to bring it to Lollapalooza just thinking it's a joint like any other. Plus, here's the other thing.
The Russians could put polonium in that, man.
They could have. They could have. And here's another thing that you can speak to more than I. They say, like, in the last 20 years, like, pot has gone through the roof in terms of its potency.
Oh, yeah.
So wouldn't you think, like, it would have to be a vetted joint before you would allow the first daughter to touch it?
They should have the White House should have its own, like, hydroponic room, actually, to be growing Sasha and Malia's weed. They need to be, you know, making this secure for the interests of national security. In Breaking Bad, that was one of the storylines, was like Walt gave Jesse a cigarette with poison in it, like this hard to trace but totally lethal poison. And it was hidden in the cigarette because Jesse was going to use that to transport it, and then he was going to, like, you know, pour the poison on the victim's food or in his drink or whatever. I think in his drink. And so there was always like a running storyline for like a season or maybe even more.
Where's the cigarette?
Does he still have it? Did he smoke it on accident? Like, what? Where is the lethal cigarette? So I like what you're saying there, man, which is why I think it's all a setup.
I don't know what the end game of that setup would be. I really don't.
Who, cui bono? Who benefits in that setup?
I don't know.
Sasha wants to be. Sasha's going to be the one that they're going to put forth to take over the presidency after Michelle, and this is why they're tarnishing Malia's reputation. That's the master plan.
Okay, if that plays out, I will definitely come back to this moment.
You want to bet $50?
Yeah, why not? It'll take like 30 years.
We have 8 years of Hillary, and then we're going to have 8 years of Michelle, and then so we have 16 years before Malia.
You don't honestly think Michelle...
She won't be 35 by then. How old is Malia?
I don't know. 15? 16?
Oh, okay. Well, it'll be close. Maybe she'll have to go and be a senator for a while.
Okay, well, $50.
$50. You're on. Shake. Right. Shake on it. All right.
Good.
You're on. And when your friends want to duck over into a park to smoke weed, what will you do? Like, I'm like John Quinones. What would you do?
I will turn to the Secret Service men next to me, and I will ask if that joint has been vetted.
I wonder if she has a... Does she have a code name? Like, I wonder what her code name is.
Yeah, I don't know. If it's the Black Panther, then I know they've been listening to our show.
That's racist. You can't call the first daughter Black Panther. That's horrible.